seriousness of my duty this morning, I also feel to be very inadequate in and of myself. But this morning I'm trusting that my sufficiency is of the Lord. And I'm trusting that the Lord's grace and mercy will be sufficient unto me this morning and unto you. I pray for preaching grace. I pray for the spirit of preaching. I pray that you would have the spirit of hearing grace to hear. I pray that you have a desire to hear. I pray that you'd have a desire and a hunger for the Word of God this morning, for the instruction of God's Word, for the Scriptures. They're given unto us to fully benefit us and to equip us, that we would have the instruction in righteousness, that we'd have the correction and the reproof that we need in our lives. This morning, I want to set forth before you, I'm not going to preach from these verses, but I want to set this forth because this is necessary for us to understand as we engage in the subject matter that's upon my heart and mind, and that's been upon my heart and mind since last Sunday afternoon. This morning, the Lord being our helper, our main lessons is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Now, don't get scared. I'm certainly not going to be able to preach all those verses. But where I'm going to turn to read first is in the Philippian letter in chapter 2. And I want to set forth on the record and in your hearing and hope that you'll keep it in the back of your mind as we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Apostle Paul is telling them that I'm not with you, and you continue to obey the gospel, you continue to obey the admonitions, the exhortations, the reproofs, the corrections, as if I was with you, as if I was right there present with you. You continue, and you continue on to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This salvation is deliverance. It's not anything to do with heaven and immortal glory. You can't work your salvation out for heaven and immortal glory. You can't do any works to achieve that home in heaven above. That's not what's under consideration. What's under consideration, he's telling you to work out deliverances in your life with fear and trembling. In other words, in light of God's word, in obedience to God's word, realizing the strength, realizing the power source. And it's not you, it's not of you, but it's the strength and the power of God that is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So work out your own salvation. Work out your own deliverances in light of God's word. Using what God has given you. Yeah. Use what God has given you to use. Then he says, this is the reason why. For it is God which worketh in you. God's working in his people. God does that first initial work. That very first work of regeneration. But God doesn't stop there. God continues to work in his people. For it is God which worketh in you. God continuously works with us, enabling us, strengthening us with what? He worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The scriptures teach us the good pleasure of God. The scripture teaches us what is approved and what is unapproved, what is acceptable and that which is not acceptable, that which is right, that which is wrong, that we could be principled disciples of Christ, that we could live and lead principled life, principled, amen, from God's word. For his word would have the rule over us, and we must submit unto the rule, and therefore it would be pleasing unto the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. He works in us the desire. Amen. The to will. The desire, the hunger, the thirsting after righteousness, after godliness, after the things that would be pleasing unto the Lord. He continuously works that in us. We must be submissive. We must bow the knee to it. We must humbly bow our knee before the Lordship. He not only is Savior, but he should be Lord in our life. Now, he is Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, but we need to bow the knee. We need to be submissive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Amen. These things that the scripture teach us to do in discipleship and in service to God, that we should not murmur, we should not complain, and so forth. He says in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Jesus said for us that our light to so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So here the admonishment is that we should be manifested sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. For you see, this crooked and perverse nation, it is darkness. It's full of darkness. So then when we adhere to the scriptures and live our lives ruled by them, live principled lives, recognizing that there is a definite and absolute right and wrong. So many folks try to blur the lines, but the scriptures are plain that there is that which is right and that which is wrong. And therefore we must hold fast to that principle. And that very next expression in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Holding it forth in practice, holding it forth in manifestation, holding it forth in our light shining. Oh, that we would adorn the doctrine of God, that we would cause the doctrine to be beautiful and delightful as our brothers and sisters look upon it, that it would bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now I trust that you'll keep all that in mind. That's a hard task. But I trust, as we've set that forth, that you'd keep that in mind now as we turn here, for it will help us as we turn here to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 1. Now, if I was going to give, and of course I'm asked to give a title to the discourses, the title today would be Add to Your Faith. Yeah. Add to your faith. Not adding in number or quantity, or volume. That's not what we're talking about. Not adding like that. This word add, that's in verse 5 here in 2 Peter. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, I'm not going to read these others right now. There are six other virtues or six other principled qualities or characteristics of supply that we need to supply, that we need to add, as the scripture says, but it's in the sense of supply to our faith. Now, this word add is a verb here. It is action. It's telling us to do something.
Yeah.
And besides this, besides what? Well, I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. And verse 1 through 4 is the besides this.
Yeah.
All right? As he goes into this in verse 5. When he's saying in verse 5, and besides this, he's saying, for this is the very reason, or because of this, and besides this. That's the sense of it. Because of this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and so forth and on. There's seven things here. Let's start there in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon is the name that his mom and daddy gave him. Peter is the name that Jesus gave him later on in a way of discipleship. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Thou art a little pebble, a little rock, but I'll build my church upon an immovable boulder. And then, of course, Peter also comes the name Cephas. So Simon Peter, we understand who the writer here is. He's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's not a servant to Satan. He's not a servant to himself. He is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is happy to be the Lord's servant. He is doing it willingly to be the Lord's servant. He counts it joy to be the Lord's servant. Oh, do we count it, amen, a joyful thing to be considered and to think upon this thought, a servant of the Lord. And not only just a common servant or a regular servant, but he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is one that was supplied by Christ. He gave first unto the church apostles. And here, so we see that Simon Peter, he's a servant and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's writing. He's going to tell us who he's writing to. He's not writing to dead, alienated sinners. He's not writing to folks endeavoring to try to get them to accept Christ or to become born again. No, he's writing to disciples of the Lord. He's writing to them that have obtained light, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This obtaining here is not on the part of the individual. This obtained here is that it has been given unto them. Peter says, just like the grace of God, the faith of God was given to us apostles, I'm writing to you also that it has come the same way. It has come through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking about here in this sense, this faith, this beginning of faith, this beginning, this initial faith, this innate faith, this intrinsic faith, this innate faith, this that comes in regeneration. For we know that all men do not have faith. Men are not conceived with faith. You can't get faith. You can't buy faith. There's no faith store.
No.
Faith doesn't come that we're talking about here in verse 1. through the hearing of the gospel, there is an aspect of faith that does come through the preaching of the gospel. But that's after this initial faith that he's talking about here. And thank God for all the aspects of faith. But when he says, but to them that have obtained like precious faith, this trusting, this believing in, this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter saying, I have that. We apostles have that. And I'm writing to people. I'm writing to you that have this confidence, that have this belief, that have this trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Oh, grace and peace. He's not talking about initial grace, first grace. When grace is first given in regeneration, the unmerited favor of God, the divine favor of God, when man is without strength in a spiritual sense, when man has no strength of his own, when man has no ability to do nothing to line himself up in an acceptable way with God, that's through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about the peace telling that it be multiplied through his desire or through his prayers, but it's the peace that God gives. What he is saying is that the manifestation of it, that the practical aspect of it be multiplied, that you enjoy, that you have a realistic understanding and a working knowledge of this grace and of this peace, and that it be special in your heart. This grace and peace be multiplied unto you, that you have much experience in working out what God has worked in, that you have the enjoyment of grace and peace in your life through the knowledge. He's talking about this grace and peace being multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord. For you see, the more that you know about grace, the more that you know about his peace, the more that you experience, amen, the divine fellowship with God, the more that you will appreciate it and the more that you will yearn for it. And then therefore, it just seems to be multiplied more and more unto you. An example that I use a lot of times is that perfect love casteth out fear. The more that you know of the perfect love of God, the more that you understand about the endless, boundless of that love that will never cease, that love that you can never be separated from, that love that, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So this multiplying of grace and peace, amen, is through the knowledge of the three in one God. It's through the knowledge of what God has done for us and of the knowledge of his word. And he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, according as his divine power, God's power, amen, deity power, this dunamis, dynamite power, amen, this power from El Shaddai, God Almighty, hath given unto us through his all-sufficient power, through his all-sufficient might and ability, that God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This life, he's talking about this life in discipleship, this of living our life after the pattern of Jesus Christ, the way of Christ, to walk in harmony, to fellowship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to have a wonderful fellowship with God through a life of godliness, through a life that's devoted to the reading and meditation of the Scriptures, and prayerfulness over the Scriptures, and a daily prayer life, continuous praying without ceasing, a regular attendance to the house of worship at the designated time, to attend to the ordinances of the church. This is godliness. This is great gain. This is great benefit, to benefit us as we live right here in this life. And it is by His divine power that supplies these things that pertains unto this life. As He told the apostles to go and stand and to speak all the words of this life. Thank God for eternal life, but also thank God for the abundant life that is in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This great fellowship that we can have in harmony, amen, with the principles of His precious word. And it is through His divine power. It is through His enabling. It is through Him that worketh in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He says, through the knowledge of Him. Here is knowledge again. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. God, amen, calls His people out of a state of dead and trespass and sin to a state of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. He works in us. He works faith in us. He works that new creation. Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are His workmanship. In other words, we're the workmanship of His hand. Talking about this new creation. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And certainly these things that He talks about and goes through down here, this adding your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. These are things, amen, that God has worked in us and given us the ability, and by His power, by His divine power, that we are able, amen, to supply through Him to our faith, to add to our faith. You see, the Bible never talks any words about adding faith or supplying faith. You cannot supply faith. Faith has to be given first of all in regeneration. And then, amen, we can add, or in the sense that this is, we can supply, we can furnish to our faith virtue. And these other things that He has spoken of here, these other things that I just read, they are actually fruits of our faith.
Yeah.
Now, I think at this time it would be good to turn and just briefly refresh our minds and see what a close comparison that the fruit of the Spirit, as the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians chapter 5. Starting there in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Yes.
These are the nine manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. The evidence of the Spirit. The outcropping. The working out. God is working in. We're to work it out. We're to manifest, amen, what He has worked in us in a way of discipleship. Now, a few minutes ago, I said that those other things that He mentions over there that He says for us to add to or to supply to or in connection to, amen, that is fruit or manifestations of faith. Here, faith is listed as a fruit of the Spirit because you've got to have the Spirit. And the first time that an individual has the Spirit is when they are born of God.
That's right.
the Spirit within cried, Abba Father.
Yeah.
Amen. Unto our adopted Father, God our Father. We have a natural Father. Goes all the way back to Adam. But thank God for our adopted Father. God has only one only begotten Son, but He has many sons by adoption. And the captain of our salvation, He will bring many sons to glory. As the Hebrew letter teaches, amen, because of the finished work and because of the work that He done at Calvary, Golgotha, Armageddon, that He did suspended between heaven and earth there upon the tree of the cross. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, His possession, they that He own, that He owns, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Amen. To mortify, to put to death, to engage. Amen. In a principled life. In a life of virtue. The first that we should supply. The first that is given in that order there in 2 Peter chapter 1 is that He says, add to your faith virtue. Now, this is an exhortation. This is an exhortation, something for us to do. I want you to notice that word. As I said, that word add, it's a verb. It means action, to supply, and to supply in an abundant way. It's not in the sense of adding, for it's adding in a number or a volume or a quantity. It's in the sense of supplying abundantly, an abundant supply. By that God has worked in, we're to use that and supply virtue to our faith. Now, there's a little expression that I will use and bring in here with this to help you to understand. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus said this, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Here Jesus asked this question. He's talking about this word add. It's not in the same sense as the word add over here in 2 Peter. Here He's talking about adding. Adding in number. Adding in quantity. He's not talking about adding far as in increasing or in a quantity of your faith. No, He's talking about you supplying virtue in connection with your faith. Living a virtuous life will adorn your faith. It will beautify your faith. It will beautify it in the sight of others. Amen. That have eyes to see and ears to hear. Other children of God. Amen. Your virtuous life. Your moral excellence. Your strength. As far as integrity. Of being honest, of living principled according to the direction and teachings of God's precious word. So we're not talking about adding in the sense when Jesus said, you know, by thought, you talking about which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature. Another expression there of add is talking about adding in increase, adding in volume or in quantity of number would be where it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we're not talking about here when He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're not talking about adding to the quantity of it. We're not talking about adding to the volume of it. But we're talking about here, the sense of it is to supply abundantly, supply this virtue to adorn. And we can certainly allow the Scripture to interpret the Scripture. I think about the expressions there in Titus. We came across these just briefly some Sundays ago. But I would reemphasize this so that we understand that this virtue that he's talking about, add to your faith, supply to your faith, supply in the exercise of your faith, in working out your faith. These things here that he's talking to us about there in 2 Peter chapter 1, and virtue, these are works. These are works that children of God are able to do and are employed by the scriptures, exhorted by the scriptures to do. He tells us there in Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Speaking the doctrine of God does not make the doctrine of God the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is his doctrine because of God himself. But he says, which become sound doctrine, which adorns sound doctrine, which beautifies sound doctrine. Yeah. Now, he goes on into that. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Here again, this list that he names here for the aged men, it's along the same line as the list of the seven things he gives there in 2 Peter that we're told to add or to supply. Amen. To supply to our faith. And Paul, writing to Titus in this, addressing here, and that which further instruction for him to preach, he is to preach and to tell the aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. And he says for the aged women likewise. You see, this is virtue. This is the virtues of a godly life, the virtues of a disciplined life, virtues of a sound life, a life that beautifies and adorns the belief, the trust, the confidence that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples of Christ, Old Baptist church members, or to live a beautiful life.
Yeah.
Amen. Now you can understand that. Or to live a beautiful life.
Amen.
Adorning. Amen. Bringing beauty to the doctrine. Not bringing any darkness. Not bringing and casting any reflection of doubt and disgrace and dishonor to the doctrine that we hold fast to, that we so love, that we embrace. So this is why the instructions are given to aged men. The instruction is given to aged women. Why? That aged men, aged women, young men, young women, servants, all, amen, should live virtuous lives.
Yeah.
Lives of moral excellence. Lives that are strong in ethics. In that are strong in honesty. Having those type characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, he goes on down, and I'm jumping, but when he's talking to servants, being obedient to their own masters, he says in verse 10, not forlorning. P-U-R-L-O-I-N-I-N-G. And all you got to do is look that word up in the dictionary. What does it mean? Steal. He's telling servants, you don't be stealing. You don't steal. We can make the application of employer, employee. Employees should not steal from their employer. That's exactly what this means, exactly what it's teaching. In other words, we should have a mindset of faithfulness. This is a virtue, amen, of moral excellence, of strength and integrity, of honesty. Disciples of Christ are to be honest. Disciples of Christ are to be forthright. Amen. Living in the light, not in the darkness, not in the shadows. Oh, but embracing the things, the teachings of God's precious word, but shewing in verse 10, not forlorning or stealing, but shewing all good things. Fidelity. What does that word mean? It simply means faithfulness. To be faithful. Just like servants or employees should be faithful in their employment, in their service to their employer. Amen. And as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be faithful unto Him. Faithful in His service. Holding, being steadfast, holding fast to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Embracing them, not letting them go. There are temptations out here in this world. There's temptations that will come to you from the old carnal nature, from the flesh, from the world, from Satan, from his gouging and prodding. This won't hurt and that won't hurt. I tell you, it will hurt. It will have consequences.
Yeah.
Our actions in connection with God's word, our works, they have consequences. We need to always remember that and be fearful. Be fearful of that. That we would, amen, live virtuous lives. Strong lives. In strength. Amen. Of the Lord. He is working in us. Both of His will and of that doing, of that desire and of that ability that He has worked in. He says, for the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. See, these things that he brings in here, it's in connection with, it's in the same line. It's these things that he says add virtue to your faith, add or supply in connection with faith, you supply virtue. With virtue, you supply to it knowledge. With the knowledge, you supply, and it keeps on going down. You see, virtue leads the caravan. Charity brings up the rear.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that.
Right.
Amen. If you're writing anything down, write that down. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. Don't blaspheme the word of God. Beautify the word of God. Adorn the word of God with our lives, with our conversation. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen.
We're to seek after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Do you trust the Lord? Do you believe His word? Do you believe what He says? If you believe what He says, then act upon it. Amen. Do it. Don't be afraid to step out. Amen. On your confidence and in your trust in Christ. Amen. Believe what He says. Believe the instruction of His word and act upon it. He says the young men likewise ought to be sober-minded. Young men, we ought to be sober-minded. Not having our mind influenced by the world. God's people, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We don't live in hideaway and caves. We understand that. There's a certain degree of interaction that we have and so forth. But we must guard. We must be careful. You see why? Because you have an adversary. You've got an enemy. And it's the devil. And he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I tell you, the devil giggles and laughs when he is instrumental in influencing and bringing down a husband, a father of a family, and where the husband or the father ceases the principle and being principled by virtuous and does not excel in morality, but stumbles and falls, not adding virtue and adding these other virtues, these other strengths that are God-given, and goes off in the ways of flesh and is unfaithful to that spouse, to his family and so forth, and there's the breaking up of a home, and little children are disarrayed, little children are left in a state of confusion and turmoil and suffering the consequences of it, you better believe the devil giggles and laughs, and he's happy over that. Why, sure he is. That's his aim. That's his desire.
Amen.
The devil knows that he'll never have an elect child of God. Amen. In that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew chapter 25. Amen. He knows that God's people won't be in that place of an everlasting punishment. So if he can bring about hell here on this earth, if he can bring about disturbance, if he can bring about a turmoil because when individuals cease to live and to add virtue to their lives. And I want to get to that word here in just a moment, but I've read a good bit here, and I invite you to continue on. But let's get on down here to verse 10, which further explains what we're talking about this adorning and this beautifying. Not in verse 10, where we emphasized and gave the sense about not to steal, but shewing all good fidelity, in other words, faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Adorn that doctrine. Beautify that doctrine. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, all kinds of men, all types of men, Jews and Gentiles, teaching us. You see, the grace of God teaches something in the heart. Amen. The grace of God teaches in the heart. The gospel teaches in the mind. Amen. And it's connected. And it comes and finds a lodging place in the heart. Amen. If God hadn't taught it in the heart, the gospel can't ever teach it to you in the mind. Think about that. Amen. Oh, but the grace of God does teach us something. He writes His law. He inscribes it in our heart and our mind. And this grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We're not at liberty to live just any old way. And just any old way won't do. And direct our life in just any old direction. And follow after the lust of the flesh and the things. We must deny that. We must deny ourselves daily. And take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. It's not following him just when it's convenient. Oh, you see, when we slack up, if we slack off, and if we falter, and if we fail, and if we succumb to these things, and then the consequences come. You see, he told us very plainly, back over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, with this teaching, with this supplying to our faith, in this supplying virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He then says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is His law. He is the lawgiver to His church. He is the lawgiver of the New Testament. Amen. We serve Him. He said, if you keep my word, if you do my commandments, He said, then are ye my disciples indeed.
Amen.
Indeed are you my disciples. If you do these things, if you supply these things to your faith, if you supply these things, amen, to that work that God has worked in you, and you work them out in a manifested way, in a way that adorns your belief, that adorns and beautifies the trust and confidence that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be barren or unfruitful. But you'll bear the peaceable fruits of righteousness. You'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. These things will abound in you. And he said in that last expression of verse 10, ye shall never fall.
Right.
Now, he said you'll never fall. You'll never fall as long as you do these things.
Right.
When we're not supplying these things as he's teaching, we're not supplying them to our faith. You know, that word, and besides this, that was at verse 1 through 4. Giving all diligence. That word diligence, it's a strong word. It means careful and persistent work or effort. Careful work. Conscientious work. Work that you're aware of. In other words, you can't just haphazardly do it. You can't just be beating at the wind. It's purpose. It's purpose work. It's persistent work. It's continuous work. Why? Because if you don't do it that way, and if you don't think of it that way, you'll fall.
Yeah.
A lot of folks think, well, I'll push the envelope. I'll just see how close I can get to this, how much of this sin I can enjoy before I go over the edge. Let me tell you, you're going to go over the edge sooner or later.
That's right. Amen.
You don't play with fire without getting burnt. You can't play with fire without getting burnt. Sooner or later, you're going to get burnt and you're going to fall.
Yeah.
I believe you can look at two characters in the Old Testament, and I invite you to go and study them. I'm sure don't have time this morning to go into their lives, but you Bible readers know. I present before you Joseph, and I present before you Samson. Now, I'm presenting these men in a contrast. And I'm going to contrast something. Some of you will already know in your mind and thinking. You're going to know where Joseph lined up. You're going to know where Samson lined up. I want to tell you, Samson did not live a principled life. Samson failed many times. Samson failed drastically. He even failed to such a state that the Lord withdrew his presence from him. The Lord withdrew his power, his divine strength that he had given unto Samson. God withdrew it. Why? Because Samson was not a virtuous man. Samson did not add virtue. He did not add. Samson had strength in the sense, far as from a natural standpoint. But he did not supply and was strong, amen, in these things that we've been talking about this morning, and supply to his faith in God virtue. You know, the little sub there of this word virtue, the V-I-R. You can look this up in the dictionary. I'm not that smart, but thank God I've got enough sense to know how to look some things up. But that V-I-R, it is from an old word from Middle France, a Middle French word. And also it has a Latin connotation to it. There's a word, V-I-R-I-L-E. Virile. And it's hard for me to remember and to say it because I don't ever use that word. V-I-R-I-L-E. It means V-I-R in that middle French and in that Latin, it means man or manly. It's talking about strength. Physical strength. The strength that man has by nature. So there's derived from this virtue. When he said, back up here, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's talking about God's strength, God's divine power. In the first part of verse 3, it talked about his divine power. In Hebrews, it talks about us being partakers of the divine nature. In other words, to supply, to add in a way of supplying to our faith this virtue, this moral excellence, this strength in ethical behavior, in being honest, in having integrity. It's in a spiritual sense, it's by the strength and by the power of God.
Yeah.
Samson had the V-I-R. But he didn't have the V V-I-R-T-U-E. The strength to rely upon the strength of God. You can't live a disciplined, discipled life by your strength from a natural sense. It has to be God that worketh in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, by the strength of God, by the power of God.
Amen, brother.
Now, somebody, there's another place, and we'll bring this in here. Remember the woman with issue of blood? Said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment. And then there's another place where it talks about, in this same sense, that virtue went out of Jesus and healed them. But here, Jesus said, after this woman had touched Him and she fell back into the crowd, Jesus said, who touched me? Yeah. And they said, Lord, with this great throng around thee and thou sayest, who touched me? He said, yes. In other words, someone has touched me in a special way. Someone has touched me in a way that virtue has gone out of my body. In that context, what does it mean? The Lord's strength, the Lord's healing power, that's His virtue there in that context, went out of Him and went into that woman. So when we're talking about virtue here, we're talking about the strength from God, ethical strength, excelling in moral fortitude, having a moral standard that we will not deviate, that is governed to us, that is set forth as a rule unto us from God's precious word. And Samson, he was relying upon natural strength. He got to rely upon his ability and feeling that he was one doing that. And it came to the point that after he had so sinned against God, said, the Philistines are upon thee. He says, I'll rise and I'll do like I've done at other times. I'll shake myself. But this time when he shook himself, his strength was gone.
Yeah.
God took the natural strength from him. Because Samson wasn't supplying, amen, the strength, the virtue, from the standpoint of a virtuous life. You know, the scripture teaches us concerning a virtuous woman. Boaz said of Ruth, said that she was a virtuous woman. And you read in Ruth chapter 3, and you read about her actions and her conduct and how she acted when she was there on that floor. There in the harvest where Boaz had eaten and drank and had gone and laid down at the inn there. What did she do? She came in at midnight. She didn't lay in his arms. She laid at his feet.
Yeah.
And covered herself with his skirt. And he said that the city would know that she was a virtuous woman. The Bible teaches us also concerning In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband.
Yeah.
But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Think about that. Think about that. A virtuous woman, she's a crown to her husband. A woman that lives faithfully, fidelity, faithfulness to her husband, she's a crown to him. A woman that has integrity, a woman that will hold her tongue, a woman that will act in integrity, that is a virtuous woman. But one that doesn't do that, all she maketh ashamed. But she that maketh ashamed by not being virtuous is as rottenness in his bones. His bones. She is a rot in his bones. She is a plague unto him. Think about the words there in that last chapter, chapter 31 of Proverbs. I want to read verse 10, 11, and 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband to safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Then don't you listen to verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. This virtuous woman, this woman that does her husband good, this woman that that the Bible says that her price is far above rubies. What does she do? She girds her loins with strength. It's not physical strength. It's the strength of virtue. It's the strength that comes from the Lord. It is a high standard of moral excellence. It is the strength of integrity. And all, she girdeth her loins with strength. What will we read in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God? What does it tell us to gird our loins with? To gird our loins with truth.
Yeah.
With truth. This is the strength of the Lord. This is that of the truth of His Word. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. We need the strength of the Lord. Our arms, brothers and sisters, need to be strong to engage in the service of the Lord, to beautify, to adorn our faith, to supply, to add to our faith virtue, to supply to our faith virtue. Now, I would set before you Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. This is a continuing chastening from the Lord. Amen. Why? That we would be partakers of His holiness. That we'd be partakers of His grace. That we'd be partakers of His virtues, His strengths, His character. Now, we'll never achieve perfection. We know we won't. We know we'll falter. We know we'll fail. Because we will not be consistent. We will not be always, for we will stumble. We will fall. But if we did consistently supply to our faith and add these things in connection with, we would never fall. Not talking about falling out, losing heaven and mortal glory, but it's talking about falling from our steadfastness. Because remember this verse that I used a few Sundays ago in the discourse on being steadfast in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Yeah.
Fall from your own steadfastness. We must be steadfast in these virtues, in these strengths, amen, from the Lord, to excel in the moral standard of God's Word, to be and go forth in His strength. Now, I gave you the contrast. I gave you the side of Samson. And then remember, I mentioned Joseph. Joseph is in contrast. He's over here on this other side. Amen. What does Joseph do? Joseph is a virtuous man. Joseph is a man that is going in the strength of the Lord. And whenever whenever Potiphar's wife presses him to lie with him, and he runs out of his garment to get away and to get out of there, he says, first of all, how can I commit this great sin, this great wickedness against my God? He had a high standard of moral and ethical behavior. He had been displaying that. You know, the Bible Joseph sure has a good record all the way down through. Now, he had faults and he had failures. You understand that. But he is a good example, amen, of adding to your faith virtue. In connection with your faith, add virtue, supply virtue, and supply it abundantly. So I invite you to, once again, read the life of Joseph and around that circumstance, and then also of Samson around his circumstance. But thank God, God had mercy upon Samson, and in his end, whenever he had the lad to put his hands against the pillows, remember, his eyes are plucked out. They've been making sport of him, and when they had gathered together and had all of the folks in the high escalade, the hierarchies, the people of prestige there, he pushed those walls out. God's spirit came into him once again, And he killed more in his death than he had in his life, the Bible says. But his life was full of stumblings. His life was full of fallings. He would fall from his own steadfastness because he didn't supply abundantly to his faith. He didn't adorn his faith. He didn't beautify it. He didn't live a life of beauty. Amen. No. It was a life of questions and shadows, to say the very least. Amen. But Joseph's life is a life of light. Amen. A life of trusting the Lord and a life of holding fast to his principles and not to deviate and not to fall from his own steadfastness. And I'm coming to a close. Let me read these last verses here, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, or I think it necessary, I think it useful, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm able to preach the gospel, Peter is saying, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me, as he showed me, as he told me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. These things are important.
Yeah.
These things that I'm talking about this morning. This adding, this supplying to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge in connection with knowledge, temperance, and the temperance, or in connection with temperance, patience. And in connection with this patience, godliness. And connection, in other words, the sense of it. I'm employing Nehemiah 8:8. Amen. Read distinctly from the book and give the sense and cause the people to understand. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that this ad, it's a verb, it's action, it's an exercise on our part. It's that we must do, and that we must do continuously and on a daily basis.
That's it.
There's many more things that could be said along this line. We'll stop there. We'll select a song.